As we come to our prayer time this morning, I just want to invite you, this altar is open if you have a prayer concern or a prayer burden. I know that we've mentioned we've got a lot of folks that are battling with different viruses and those kind of things, but we want to just remember, too, the Crane family and the passing of Miss Betsy Crane, the Campbell family and the Cobb family and the passing of Billy Cobb. We had both of those services were this past week. Just want to continue to lift up those families. So as we begin the new year too, it's a time of a lot of people making resolutions, and so about what they're going to do to make their lives better this year. I can tell you the best thing you can do is, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, is to trust Him and begin a walk with Him. And so let's just go to the Lord and pray, and pray not only that, but if you have a walk with the Lord, it'll grow stronger through this year as well. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us, Lord. We thank You for the privilege we have to be able to gather together in Your house today, Lord, to be able to worship You today, Lord, openly and freely, Lord. And we pray that we've come prepared our hearts, Lord, to worship You in spirit and truth. And Lord, as we come today, I pray, Lord, that Your word would speak to us, Lord, and we know it does not return void. But as You speak to us through Your word, Lord, You would challenge us in our daily walk with You, Lord, that we would die to self and that we would take up our cross and we would follow You as we begin the year 2018. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the Cobb family. I pray, Lord, You just be with Miss Betty and be with that family. They've had several family members in that family have passed in the last month. I pray, Lord, for the Crane family, that You'd be with them also, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace is sufficient for all of our needs at all times. And I pray now, Lord, that You would just continue to be glorified in and through the passing of these saints, Lord, that loved You dearly. Lord, I pray as we come today, Lord, for those that are visiting with us, if there's someone here who does not know You as a personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, as we hear the message and the story of worshiping Your Son, Jesus Christ, as we hear the story of bringing gifts, Lord, and acknowledge Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord, may our hearts be stirred this year to seek after Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, as wise men still seek Him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I know for a lot of folks, you would say, well, preacher, Christmas is over. And if you'll remember when I shared with the children on Christmas Eve in that morning service, and we read to them that day, as our children are going to We Church up to first grade and is welcome to go. And if you want to go and take your children, you can do that now. But, you know, as I was sharing, that first part of that story really comes from Luke chapter 2. And it's the birth announcement of Christ, and when the shepherds acknowledged Christ's birth, and they went rejoicing, proclaiming that the Savior had been born to all of those around Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And then the latter part of that story was from Matthew chapter 2, and is about where the wise men came and brought gifts. Now, one of the things I do want to clarify for you, because we want to be theologically correct in our study of God's Word, is that those things did not happen simultaneously. Now, a lot of times we see it on the Charlie Brown Christmas, is that they have, you know, all of them there at the manger, and then you see the wise men come, and in all the stories we read, we sing We Three Kings, it's usually about the three wise men, but there's nothing in Scripture that says it was only three wise men. What Scripture does really indicate, as we're going to see today, is that a period of time had gone by from the time that Mary had delivered Jesus and was there in the manger. I don't know if this thing's driving y'all crazy or not, but I can't hear well, but it seems like this thing's echoing, and I apologize for that. But the thing is, it's been somewhere around 20 months to 2 years from the time of the birth of Christ until this time where we study today, where the Magi come and they offer those gifts to these wise men. Now, the other thing we want to talk a little bit about is, what do we really know about these wise men? We know that they were from the east. It's been speculated that they came from Babylon, that they came from areas around the Red Sea, or that area around Arabia. But all we're really told in the Bible is that they came from the east. What we do know, though, is that these men had gathered together. They were men who were religious. They were men who were prominent within their community, probably in politics and all of where they lived as well, because of the gifts that they bring. But the other thing we know is that they had seen a star and they had began to follow that star. That star led them to come to Jerusalem. And as they were journeying, we read over in Ezra chapter 7, it talks about their journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem was a time of about 5 or 6 months journey. So they have been traveling for quite some time, more than likely because of the fact they were bringing precious gifts and they were traveling through an unknown territory, not really sure where they were going. Very probably there may be as many as 20 to 30, 40, 50 people in a caravan together for safety's sake for those who were helping to provide protection as well as those who were helping as servants and all the wise men that were gathered together, traveling together to see and acknowledge the one that was the King of the Jews. So let's begin our story this morning in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." Now, as we look at this story begin to unfold, we're not told that these men were followers of God. We're just told they were very devout religious men is what we understand from the story. But yet they had began a journey by following a star that was a very unusual star, and they followed it as far as Jerusalem, and it carried them all the way to the king of Jerusalem at the time, King Herod. Now, if you know anything about King Herod, you know that he had killed his favorite wife and two of his sons to protect his throne because of fear that he would somehow lose his throne. So he was a very jealous, very envious king, and not one that was very kind to the people that he ruled over. And so these wise men were strangers to the area. And surely as this group came to Jerusalem, it caused alarm to Herod and others, thinking maybe some invading army was coming, some group that was coming to scout out before an army would come to invade them. But the other thing about it was, is when they came and told him they're looking for the King of the Jews, that really rocked Herod. And when it rocked Herod, it rocked all of Jerusalem, because word began to go around and say, there's another king of the Jews, and Herod is going to wreak havoc. And so fear fell over the people of Jerusalem. But you know, the wise men and their discernment, they were just sharing with him what the Lord had placed on his heart to warn him that the real King of Kings had come and was here in Jerusalem, or at least in Bethlehem, in this area about 6 miles away. And so we think about when we see that they, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And think about later in the book of Matthew when Jesus is on the cross and it was nailed over the cross, King of the Jews, and the people complained and no one wanted that among the Jews up there, but yet the Romans put that up there because it was true. And so at the time he was a baby or a young child, he was called King of the Jews, and even at his death he was called King of the Jews, and he acknowledges that today. But the thing that we see too is these men had traveled a long way. It says, "We have seen his star in the east." They had traveled somewhere in the neighborhood of 900 to 1,000 miles to come and find this king, this child, to worship him. Now, the thing I want to tie together today for us is this. What degree will we be willing to go out of our way to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him throughout this year? And for some of us that are followers of Christ, we can say, well, I worship him every day. I study the word and I read and I pray. But let me ask you this too. As the Lord speaks to you and calls you to then begin to serve him in some way in ministry to witness to people or to minister to people, to help point them to Christ, to help young believers maybe to come to know Christ more intimately in that relationship with him through discipling them, through mentoring them. How is God already beginning to work in your life to begin to reveal what he has planned for you for 2018? You see, as we look around and we think about trying to get more fit, as we start thinking about the habits that we have to quit smoking, to quit drinking, to quit gambling, or whatever our habits may be that we have, a lot of times we're looking at things we can do ourselves to try to make ourselves better. And the fact is that usually that only lasts about 2 to 3 weeks at the most, and then we go right back to whatever it was that was our vice to begin with. But what I'm talking to you about now is this, is about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it is so intimate that every single day that you get up and the Lord gives you breath and gives you opportunity to worship him and to seek him is that you seek hard after him. And not just with a purpose of knowledge of wanting just to know who he is. We'll see in just a moment how that can be dangerous when it's just a matter of knowing the things of God, knowing the word of God, but yet not knowing God in an intimate relationship in faith and obedience. And so as we see the story unfolding, these men have gone to great lengths to find the Lord Jesus Christ and then to worship him as their primary purpose for finding him. And so when Herod heard this, he was troubled in all of Jerusalem. But notice what happens. It's even among those who are not followers of God, a lot of times they know just enough to know where maybe to start to find some answers. I can remember when I was not a believer, and my grandmother was a godly lady, and she was always trying to encourage us as children to be in the Bible and to read God's word and to begin to study God's word. And it usually happened about the time I got in trouble and I was being disciplined that I would begin to pick up the Bible and I'd want to turn to the first book of Genesis there and begin to read the book of Genesis like you would any book to start reading at the very beginning. And I never really could make sense of it, but I was looking for answers and I knew the right place to go for the answers was the Bible. Because the Lord, my grandmother made it very clear, that's God's word, it's true. And you can find answers for life there. And a lot of people, especially growing up in the South, have heard that. But I want to tell you is when it's a matter that you're looking to him not only for forgiveness of your current circumstances, but when you're looking to him to be Lord and Savior of your life, when you're placing him as king of all kings and you surrender to him as a servant or a one who he's your master and one that you acknowledge him as your Lord, then it's a different relationship than just knowing who Jesus Christ is. And so as these men are coming to worship, Herod has gathered the people together, and the ones that he seeks first from is in verse 4. It says, and we had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And so Herod knew exactly who to go to. He knew exactly where to go to try to find the answers that he was looking for. So he called the chief priests and the scribes, religious leaders, those who were teachers, those who were the ones who taught the word of God, who taught the law of Moses to the people. Those who should have been looking themselves, seeking after and seeking for the Messiah. They were waiting for a Messiah to come. But think about this. Almost 2 years before, this great event had happened. That in Bethlehem, 6 miles away, the glory of heaven opened up and the angels sang and the star of David shined down upon the Son of God. And God made it very clear that his son was born. He sent the shepherds out proclaiming to all the people that the Messiah was born. And yet these religious leaders had not even taken the time or had the interest to even travel 6 miles to the little town of Bethlehem to confirm if what they said was true. And folks, I want to tell you something that kind of reminds us of our own walk sometimes, is how, you know, someone begins to explain how God's working their life and what he's revealed to them, and how through reading God's word and spending that time alone with him and in prayer, and how he's teaching them new things about who he is. And we look at it and think, yeah, okay, that's good for you. But we don't even take the time ourselves to let him reveal himself to us. And it's a personal relationship. We learn from each other. But the Spirit is our teacher, teaching us and revealing to us the things of God through his word. But we've got to be in the word to begin to learn to know more about who Jesus is. But these men knew the scriptures, and immediately they gave him the answer from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, is that it had been promised a long time ago to the prophet Micah that there would be one who would come and be born in Bethlehem. They even knew where to look for the Messiah to be born. They didn't know the exact date and time. But you know what, folks, I think about this. None of us knows the day and the time when Jesus is coming back. But how many of us are looking forward to that day and looking every day for him to come? Preparing ourselves, just like we read about those virgins, those maidens who have prepared themselves to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Are we doing that on a daily basis? Are we still seeking Jesus every single day? You know, sometimes we get comfortable with the fact that, well, I've found him, and I've made a relationship with him through trusting him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm good. Folks, there's more to a walk with Christ than just having that knowledge of I'm saved and I know God's word and I know who he is, and that's it. God has a greater plan for us than just come together and sit on a pew in a church and this is all we do as Christians. There's so many people around us that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior that are lost and on their way to hell. Need someone to speak into their lives that maybe has a relationship with them, and you may be that person. That you can speak into their lives and speak words of truth and point them to how Christ has made a difference in your life and how he is so important to you every single day that you would have no hope apart from him if you were not a follower of Christ. Do you remember the time before you were saved and what your life was like? Do you ever think back on those days? And some of you may have been real young, and it might not be that you're out drinking and partying and carrying on doing drugs or a prostitute or any of those things. Everybody tends to think, well, man, they've got a dynamic testimony when they tell these things. Let me tell you something. It's a dynamic testimony to have a testimony anyway, period. The fact that you have been saved, that you're born again, is a miracle of God. And with that, it's dynamic in the fact that it's personal and dynamic to you. It happened to you. But it shouldn't just stop there, because he's commanded us to go and tell and proclaim the message. And there are many people that are seeking God, but we walk right by them and we don't even notice. We don't even listen for, be sensitive to the Spirit of God to lead us, to be willing to proclaim to them, I have the answer for the one you're looking for. I can tell you who you're looking for. I think about Paul in Acts chapter 17 there on Mars Hill. And he says, y'all have an unknown God that you have listed here. And I can tell you who that unknown God is. He has a name. His name is Jesus. You see, that's what these men were coming for. They were coming to acknowledge the one true and living God. And Herod saw him as an earthly king who would be a threat to him. And so with that, he begins to scheme, and he says, secretly he called the wise men in verse 7 and determined from them the time that the star appeared. And when he did that, he began to calculate a possibility of how old this child could be. And then a decree will go out later in the chapter where he has all those children under that age killed. But yet the Lord spared his son in the fact that he gave Joseph that dream, and he got up and he left and he fled to Egypt and he avoided that. You know, when you read this, there's not a coincidence here. It's not a happenstance that the Lord does those things. It's not a happenstance when he does things in your life that you think, man, you drive up on a wreck and you think, man, if I had not been detoured over here with a little car trouble or had to run to a restroom or get gas or whatever, I could have been right in the middle of this. Very much so. And it's not just an accident that that happens. God directs our lives when we surrender our lives to him and trust him and walk with him. And so with that, they knew that Micah had proclaimed that he was going to be a ruler that would come out of Israel from Bethlehem. And then he says, Herod says here in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Let me just say this. You know, if you are in a good, close, personal relationship with Lord Jesus Christ today, and you know someone that's not, begin that relationship with them of sharing with them every opportunity they'll give you to open up and share with them. But as I look at the story here with Herod, Herod had absolutely no desire to worship Jesus, to worship the Messiah. He was one who liked to talk a lot about how he wanted to be a follower of God. But yet he did not want to worship God. You know, it bothers me that some people will come to Sunday school and they won't come to worship. And they'll come to worship sometimes and they won't go to Sunday school. And they'll come on Sunday morning, but they won't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Now, we don't get into heaven by the number of times we come to church. We know that. That's not what makes you a good Christian, because you hear 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times a week. But let me just say this too. We often use that as an excuse to say, well, I'm busy with all these other things. I just don't have time or whatever. When a lot of times what it boils down to is we're a lot like Herod. We're not really interested enough to want to go and worship God, to be with the body of Christ, to worship him. Folks, that's a heart issue. There's a problem of the heart when we don't desire to sit under God's word, to hear God's word, and to worship God together, and to come together as the body of Christ. And so don't be like Herod, saying with your lips, well, go find out where he's at and everything, and then I'll come and worship him. Go. Go seek him yourself. You know, for 2 years now, word's been out all over the street that the Messiah has come. All from the point that they had moved from that manger and that probably there in a cave to they're now in a house. The census is over. People have left. They found a home. Clearly afterwards, we read where Jesus had been circumcised on the 8th day. Mary had gone through the time of purification after 40 days, and they were not ready to travel yet. Very probably had made that decision they were going to stay in the city of David. That was their ancestor on both sides of Mary and Joseph. They were just going to stay there and begin to raise this child. And so he had had every opportunity, and so would these religious leaders. And it's just a reminder to me is sometimes we can think we have arrived. We can think that we know it all, or that we don't need to sit under another Bible study. And I'm here to tell you, it's not just to gain the knowledge, but it's to draw closer in intimacy to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to draw closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's to begin to understand how God's at work in their lives as well as he's at work in your life. To share those testimonies among one another. To encourage one another. To build up. To edify the body of Christ. And that's what it needs to take place in 2018 here at Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church. I mean, when we come on Wednesday night, and we got 8 and 10 adults over here, and we got a few kids and a few youth out there in the back. Something's wrong, folks. We ain't that busy. And if we are, we really need to check up and examine. Are we truly seeking him? You know, because he's the one who gives us the help to be able to go and work those jobs and to do the things we're doing and to run and do all these other things and to worship all of creation and rather than worshiping the Creator. And so as the story is unfolding here, we see in verses 9 and 10 that they find the king. It says in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The first thing I see is this. They were not deterred by one who was a false worshiper. You cannot let your eyes be taken off of the Lord Jesus Christ and become distracted by those around us, even within the church. And that very well can happen and does happen sometimes. We get distracted by people sometimes more so than staying focused upon the Lord and walking with him in a daily walk. We let things they say, things they do, their actions speak against us in such a way that we become hindered in our worship. And I'm here to tell you, the only one that can hinder you in your worship is you. You're the one that would allow that to happen because the Lord doesn't allow it to happen, and he doesn't want you to allow it to happen. You have to determine, no matter what, I'm going to continue to take up my cross and follow him daily, and I'm going to worship him. You know, as I look at this story too, it says in verse 9 that when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the stars they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, every indication was that this star had led them from the east all the way up to Jerusalem. But very clearly, sometime as they got close to Jerusalem, the star must have disappeared. For them to go to Herod and begin to inquire and ask, where's the king of the Jews? Where is this child that we may worship him? Says that this had disappeared, but now it reappears. And it not only reappears, it moves and guides them until it takes them to the very house where Jesus is at. And you know, some people would say, well, it's an alignment of the planets or the stars or whatever it may be. You know, I kind of think back to when the Lord led the children of Israel out of captivity. And it was a pillar of fire by day and a cloud at night. You know, when you look at those, or vice versa, when you look at those things, is the Lord was giving, telling them, I'm present with you. He was giving them a reminder, I am with you. You can follow me and I will lead you, I will guide you, and I will direct you in the way that you should go. He did that for these wise men to lead them to the Lord. There's not a person here that may not know the Lord that can say, I don't know how I can find him, because the scripture makes clear he draws us to himself and he reveals himself to us. And sometimes he uses people to be a part of that, to lead us to it. But a lot of times it's his word and it's the spirit that lead us to understand who he is and to trust him and to place our faith in him and to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in verse 9, it also says that when they came to it, stood over where the child was. And in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That joy, I really believe, was the joy of the Lord. And the fact they knew, once again, the Lord is guiding us. We don't have to go to any man. We don't have to trust the guidance of man to tell us anything, because God has led us this far and he'll lead us on to the child. He'll lead us on to the Savior. Folks, we don't have to depend upon man. But the thing is, he places people in our lives to help us. Men and women of God, to give us advice and from the word of God, to help direct us and teach us through the word to understand and to find him. But the thing that strikes me most is when they found him, they were already rejoicing over the fact that the presence of the Lord was with them. But then verse 11, it says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. You know, folks, how often do we humble ourselves when we come here and that we fall upon our face before the Lord? We come to this altar and just acknowledge him as our King, as our Lord. You know, I've been here almost 11 years now, and it's not that it's a matter of somebody's more spiritual or less spiritual, whatever, but there's a lot of folks I've seen crying in pews and everything else, but they'll never come to this altar. They're worried about what people are going to think, all these things, whatever it may be, just a hang up. But I want to tell you, this is not a place of shame. This is the place of victory. And that when you humble yourself before the Lord, acknowledge him, not fearing man, but fearing God, then you receive the victory. And you overcome the things of this world through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our own strength, but through Christ. And so with that, we have hope. And so with this, they didn't care who was there or who would see them or anything. They fell on their faces and they worshiped him. You know, think about this. He's a small child, a toddler. That'd be like me calling, some of these kids just went out falling in front of him and worshiping them and saying, you're the Lord. And people would look at you and think, you're crazy. They didn't care. They were crazy for God, crazy to be obedient for God. Are we willing to do that this year? We have opportunities in ministry that we've never had before. And we have needs that we're going to be confronted with this year that we've never seen before. But are we ready? Will we be ready? The only way we're going to be ready is we spend time on our face before the Lord in prayer and worshiping him and acknowledging our dependence upon him. But the other part of that is, too, the way we meet those needs is just like it talks about here. When they came to worship him, part of worship was, is they came bringing gifts. The gifts were fit for a king. When we come today, we bring tithes and we bring offerings. But they need to be fit for a king. They need to be our best to give him what belongs to him, first of all, the tithe. And then to give him above the tithe what also he deserves, everything is his. We don't own anything. If he's our master, if he's our king, if he's our redeemer, he owns it all. So it's not a matter that we can give him a tip over here, but at least give the tithe and then begin to give love offerings and showing your love and expressions of love for him. But notice what it says they brought, first of all. It says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, representing the royalty that he is the King of Kings. You know, here and as a toddler, as a young child, they acknowledge him as the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. And they bring gold. That when we read throughout scripture, it's fitting that gold is for kings and queens and princes and princesses. And so as we read that, that's what people gave to them to acknowledge their royalty. And so they're bringing that gift of gold to acknowledge that he is king. But the next thing that they bring that it says here too is that they brought frankincense also. Now frankincense was used within the temple. It was used to be a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord there right outside the most holy place in the Holy of Holies. And it was given up as burned continually. It was used in a way always to worship God, to acknowledge God. So this acknowledges Jesus' deity. Acknowledge that he is fully God. Folks, if we don't do that in our lives and acknowledge him as King of Kings and fully God, we fall short of acknowledging him for who he really is. And we're not worshiping him in spirit and truth. And the last thing that we see is they brought myrrh. The myrrh relates back to his humanity. Whenever we read about myrrh being used, it's in some way to anoint a person, a human being. When you think about it too, over in Mark chapter 15, it says that when they lifted him up on the cross, they offered him wine mixed with myrrh as a way to try to numb the pain of what he had gone through and was going through, and he refused it. So it was used in a lot of different ways, but here at Jesus' birth, here it as a small child, it's already being, the foreboding is there already of the fact that he came to die. Luke had already said he came to save the many. And now we read that they brought myrrh to him, and it was used by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that they put it on him and wrapped it around his body and stuff, preparing his body quickly to go into the tomb. So it was used like an embalming fluid in a sense too, to protect and cover the smell and all those things. Remember when Lazarus' sister said, he's been dead 4 days. I mean, he's going to stink, you know? So, you know, already we see the humanity and he's fully man. He's fully God and he's King of all kings. Is Jesus your Lord and your King? Are you committed fully to him for 2018 and beyond? Should he tarry? You know, as I was reading the scriptures, I thought, you know, so often we don't hear this message because we jump into a sermon series right at the first of the year. And I think this is one of the great messages we can remind us of the fact that we need to be seeking God each day. The wise men did for almost 6 months. They traveled seeking him just to find him and to worship him. We need to do that each and every day. And it says, and they were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and they departed for their own country another way. You know, the thing I see that too, you can say, well, it's a little bit mystical, and they were warned divinely in a dream, and that doesn't really happen a lot today. It does still happen too, and I'll tell you where it happens a lot, is it happens a lot in the Muslim world when they go through the time of fasting and they're seeking God and to draw closer to God, and they're worshiping a false god. And many times, many have dreams of one who has scars in his hands and a white robe, and one who has a pierced side saying, come follow me. Come to me. Well, maybe we don't experience in that way today. Maybe it's because we don't experience him in the way that these people did and when they worshiped him. Maybe it has to do with the fact that we don't worship him in spirit and truth. Maybe it's the fact that we don't worship him as Almighty God. Maybe it's because we don't humble ourselves before him and acknowledge our dependence and our need for him to help us and to guide us and to call upon him to do so. This altar is open. You're welcome to come. As I said earlier, it's a place of victory, not a place of shame. But maybe the Lord's telling you today, I just need to come and recommit my life to the Lord, that I will walk with him. I will not be ashamed of him. I will proclaim him to anybody and everybody that I have opportunity to, as long as the Lord gives me breath. Let us stand. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, for each one that's here. Lord, it's not an accident that we've come together here to worship you here at Ebenezer today. Lord, you've called us all, and you guide us, Lord, and divinely have brought us together here today. Lord, maybe there's one here just needed to hear that message and know that they need to seek you for as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, to place their faith and trust in you and you alone. Maybe, Lord, it's some of your followers that just need to acknowledge, I've become a lot like the chief priests and the scribes. I know the word. I have an understanding of your word, but I've not been following your word, and I've not been obedient to you. Lord, would you just draw us to yourself? Lord, may you be glorified through anything and everything that happens. Lord, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.